something about this piece that's a combination of the wide, wide variety of different textures, a lot of which are really quite inventive and novel, but also mainly actually harmonically. And the thing that I find most interesting is that there are a lot of these clashing, unusual and unexpected notes, the kind of thing that you'd end up getting a lot more in kind of Prokofiev and kind of 20th century composers. So much so, in fact, that when Rimsky-Korsakov did an edition of it, he altered, i.e. corrected, all of these wrong notes. And when people went back and looked at the original manuscript, actually they realized they weren't wrong notes. They were just quite unusual and quite different, and he was really creating a slightly new language.
And now let's get back maybe to the first time you came across this piece of music. Maybe it was recording that you heard, and what it was like to discover pictures at an exhibition.
Like a lot of kids, I heard it first in the Ravel orchestration version, as it's quite often, it's very popular for school music programs because it really is a great way to introduce and explore the symphony orchestra with Ravel's beautiful orchestration. I was most inspired when I heard the piano version a little later, and it was actually one of my fellow countrymen, the wonderful Northern Irish pianist Barry Douglas, who he performed it in the Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow. And he gave really this electric performance of it. And I remember seeing that and just being transfixed, you know, by the power of this music. It almost made the piano sound like an orchestra. And I found that really fascinating.
You talk about the immense scale and how meticulously Mussorgsky conceptualized each movement. Maybe there's one movement that you'd love to just talk about for a minute and we can explore it.
It's hard to pick a movement because
right?
There are so many, and it's kind of how it becomes greater than the sum of its parts, which I think is probably its biggest achievement in a way, because each movement would be a beautiful piece and a well-crafted piano miniature. But it's the fact that he gets this dramatic arc right from the start, and it kind of the line doesn't waver. But I think the most interesting and the most successful thing about it is that he really backloads the drama. So there are early movements, like the very first picture, that are full of that drama and agitation. But somehow he always saves. And I think when you perform it, it's important to remember that you've got a long way to go. And it's the way he really backloads that drama in the final two, the Baba Yaga and the Great Gate of Kiev, that it makes it so satisfying as a performer, but also as a listener, that you really feel this kind of weighty conclusion and the kind of the end of the story, if you like. And I think just the way he's judged that and he's built it up over the course of, you know, over 30 minutes of music is remarkable.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to having you in studio later this week.
My pleasure. All the best.